is we're taking couples from the Old Testament, marriages, and we're really looking at them and seeing how they apply to us in our lives today. So we're going to be looking at Ahab and Jezebel this morning. And so if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Kings chapter 21, or if you have your mobile device, here's a really good way for you to be able to follow along. You can go to the church's Facebook page, just Facebook/Focus314, and there's a link right there on the very first status that just got up there this morning at some point, and you can click on that link, and all of the notes will take you over to the YouVersion app, and so that's a great way for you to be able to follow along. Hey, so one thing I want to be able to do as we're getting going this morning, as we're starting out, I want to get a little bit of audience participation with you. And so, ladies, I got a question for you, for all the ladies. You guys paying attention? Yeah? Okay, here's the question that I have for you. How many of you would say that you might have, at times, maybe sometimes, not all the time, but maybe you have an issue with getting things the way that you want them? Maybe a little bit of control issues. Go ahead, take control of the situation and raise your hand right now.
Can I raise your hand?
Yeah, okay, there you go. You got it. Okay, so for all the guys out there, here's a question that I have for you this morning. How many of you would say, you know what, maybe I just really am kind of laid back in a lot of areas, and I really don't care so much what happens at my house. I just let my wife go ahead and take care of a lot of things. You would say that you might be a little bit passive at your house, right? Anybody want to be able to raise your hand? Okay, controlling ladies, if you have a passive husband, go ahead and control the situation and raise his hand. All right? There you go. Well, this morning, that's exactly what we're talking about. We're going to be talking about an issue that we see in the Bible, and we're going to talk about an issue that many of us have, even today, in our marriages, in our relationships, is the issue of a controlling wife and a passive husband. And we're going to be looking at King Ahab and Jezebel. So here's what I want to be able to tell you this morning, is that this couple that we're looking at, they had a horrible marriage. They were some of the worst people in the Bible. So if you came in here today and you think that you have a pretty bad marriage, you're going to leave today thinking, hey, we're doing all right, okay? Because they're just bad people. So let me give you a little bit of background into what's going on. So King Ahab is actually a pretty successful king. He was the seventh king of the northern kingdom. So at one point, Israel split into two kingdoms. And there's the northern kingdom and then there's the southern kingdom. So a lot of times if you're reading scripture and it talks about Judah, that's the southern kingdom after they had split off. And so Ahab is the seventh king of the northern kingdom. He had reigned for about 20 years. And he really was a pretty successful political and military leader. Unfortunately, he was also a bad guy. He really was. He had an opportunity as the king of Israel to lead the people of Israel to worshiping the one true God. But that's not what he did. Instead, under the influence of his wife, Jezebel actually, it means this. Where is Baal? And Baal is a false god. Baal is another god that people at this time would worship. And so through her influence, the people of Israel, they had some crazy, unbiblical worship things that were going on at this time. And it happened through King Ahab and Jezebel. In fact, scripture says that there was not a worse king that lived up until that point than Ahab. And this is a bad guy. So 1 Kings 21, 25 really kind of gives us some context of where we're looking at this morning. And it says this, there was never anyone like Ahab who sold himself to do evil in the eyes of the Lord, urged on by Jezebel, his wife. This is a bad guy. And he listened to his wife, who was a bad person. And so through that urging, we see what is happening. So first thing that we want to be able to talk about this morning is we're going to hit on the passive husbands. Guys, you got to be listening up right now. This one is for you. This is for all of the guys in here. Because the reality is this, is that many of us, we are pretty successful. We are driven when it comes to our business. We are driven when it comes to our hobbies, that we put everything that we have into them. But then when we get home, we sit back. And we too often allow our families and our lives to be given off to somebody else. We are passive when it comes to our families way too often. And that's exactly what we see in Ahab. We see this play out. He's a political mastermind. He led his country for 20 years, but yet when he got home, man, he just sat there and let anybody tell him what to do. And there's an interesting story that we're going to be able to look at this morning. And this is a story that really epitomizes what it looks like to have a passive husband and a controlling wife. Anybody feeling uncomfortable this morning? Because that's the reality, though, man. We at our church, we just tell it like it is. And these are issues that we all face. These are issues that we all are going to come across. And so we want to be able to talk about it. Because I believe that this is the case. I believe that there is hope for every single one of the relationships in here this morning. Right. I believe that there is hope for God to be able to really work inside of the marriages that are represented here this morning. And for each of us to be able to follow the principle that God has for how we're going to deal with our relationships. So don't feel uncomfortable this morning. Instead, feel challenged. Instead, feel like, man, there is hope for a better future. There is hope for a better marriage for me and my wife and for my family. And that's what we're talking about this morning. So anyway, we're getting back to it. There's this story that kind of epitomizes what it looks like to have a passive husband and a controlling wife. And it's the story that we see in 1 Kings 21. So what we're giving, I want to give you a little backstory right now. So what we see is Ahab, he has this thing that he wants to be able to do. And he looks to his neighbor, Naboth. And Naboth has this really cool thing that Ahab wants, and we can see it stick up right here. Ahab says to Naboth, "Let me have your vineyard to use for a vegetable garden." All right, let me pause for a second just right there. So here's a spiritual truth for all you guys. We got to be able to know this. Here's a spiritual truth for us. We all have one chick thing in our life. All right? Every single guy has one little chick thing in your life. Like for some of you, it might be your hair. You know, like you got more hair products than somebody in Hollywood. Like you care about your hair, right? For some of you, you like candles. Anybody? Any of you guys in here? You love delightful fragrances. And that's your chick thing, right? Like all of us have a chick thing. For me, I got a chick thing. My thing is romantic comedy. I love me a romantic comedy, man. I tell you what. And I can't go like so far like into the total chick flicks, but man, I can't tell you how many times my wife has caught me watching Sleepless in Seattle. All right? I love that movie. It's fantastic. Some of you are disappointed in me right now. But you're allowed one chick thing, all right? Every guy has it. If you got more than one, man, come talk to me. We got to be able to talk to some awesome stuff, all right? But there's a spiritual truth that Ahab, his chick thing, was his vegetable garden. He wanted to have a vegetable garden. Since it's close to my palace. In exchange, I will give you a better vineyard, or if you prefer, I will pay you whatever it is worth. So here's what's happening in Ahab right now. So he is beginning to go into a real estate deal. He is going into a real estate negotiation. He sees a piece of land that he wants, and he goes to his neighbor, and he wants to begin to have some real estate negotiations. So he gives this offer, and then we're going to see how Naboth replies. But Naboth replied, "The Lord forbid that I should give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So we see Ahab going over to Naboth. He begins to have these real estate negotiations. Naboth, he doesn't like that offer. That's not the offer that he wants to be able to hear. So he rejects the offer, right? So what should you do in a normal real estate negotiation? If the first offer is rejected, what should you do? Hey, let's up the ante a little bit, right? That's not how we see Ahab respond. This is how he responds. So Ahab went home, sullen and angry, because Naboth the Jezreelite has said, "I will not give you the inheritance of my ancestors." So he lay in bed sulking and refused to eat. Can we just call it what it is? This is a whiny little crybaby. You get the point, right? I don't want to say exactly what it is. But that is not how you want to react in a negotiation, is it? No. Unfortunately, guys, we run into the exact same situation. Many of us have been in a situation where we weren't successful in something. And it didn't go the way that we thought. And so we figuratively take our ball and go home. Because we're so upset about something. We've been failures, right? We've all been there in this situation. We've all walked through this. It's so often, some of us, we've been the passive husband. Now, it sounds disgusting when I say it out loud, doesn't it? But it's sad and true. We've all been there. We're passive husbands at times. But here's the thing. There's hope for us. We're going to talk about that hope later. All right, wives. Ladies, are you ready now? I beat up on the guys for a little bit. Ladies, are you ready? Oh, man, I'm going to get in trouble today. The controlling wife. We're going to talk about the controlling wife and how this plays out in marriages and the dynamic of the passive husband and the controlling wife. Because we see so often is that sometimes when there is a passive husband, when they're just sitting back and not taking care of what needs to happen, then somebody has to be able to step in. And sometimes it doesn't happen in a godly way. Instead, it happens in a controlling way. And let's be able to pick up this story, 1 Kings 21:5-7. His wife, Jezebel, came in and asked him, "Why are you so sullen? Why won't you eat?" Now, I might be reading the tone into that a little bit. Maybe. All right? And he answered her, "Because I said to Naboth, Jezreelite, sell me your vineyard, or if you prefer, I will give you another vineyard in its place." He said, "I will not give you my vineyard." Again, I might be reading the tone into that. Just a little bit. So Jezebel, his wife, says, "Is this how you act as king over Israel? Seriously, is this how you're going to act? Get up and eat. Cheer up. You know what? I'm going to go ahead. I'll take the vineyard from Naboth the Jezreelite." We can see how this dynamic begins to play out. Because really, what she says is a little bit of truth behind it, isn't it? And a lot of times, when we have a situation where there's a passive husband and there's a controlling wife, a lot of times there is truth around it. And I understand the complexities of those dynamics, and there's going to be some time that's going to have to really work itself out because there is complexities around there. Because sometimes if you don't have a controlling wife, sometimes you might not be able to eat, right? So I understand that that's happening, but we also need to understand that this isn't God's way for a relationship to be able to play out. We've got to be able to look at this. See, here's the thing that we need to be able to understand about relationships is that the role of a wife is so important. The role of a wife is something that really you've got to be able to come alongside of a man. Because here's the thing. We can go all the way back to the beginning of Scripture and when God is creating everything. He's creating the universe, right? And he makes animals, and animals are good. Animals are good. You know, he makes mountains. Mountains good. Deserts good. Animals, all that kind of stuff. It's all good. And then he makes man. And then he says this: it's not good for man to be alone. It's not good. And so God gives him woman. And man, and she is beautiful. And she is lovely, and she is incredible, and she was created to be a helper to man, a helpmate. Now, I know some of you ladies in here, that you don't like that. That doesn't sound like a term that you want to be able to hear. You maybe get a little bit insulted by that, but I'm going to tell you, it's not a power thing. It's a position thing. The way that God has set things up is that God has authority over us all, and then we're right under men or right underneath that, and then women are underneath there. It's not a power thing. It's just a position thing, that this is the way that God created the relationships to be able to work. And here's the reason why it's so important. This is the reason why the role of a wife is as a helper is so important. Because we as men, we are weak. Yeah. That's the reality. We are weak individuals. And if we didn't have helpers around, man, if we didn't have a wife, it's not good for us to be alone because we're going to end up not bathing all the time. We're going to end up eating beef jerky all the time. We lose our keys and we have no idea where they're at. We need wives in our life because here's the reality. When you have a godly woman, she will make a weak man stronger.
Right, yes. Right.
That is your big takeaway, ladies. If there's one thing that you get today, man, the role of a wife is to be able to take a weak man and make him stronger.
Yes.
But here's the reality. A controlling wife will always make a weak man weaker. Mm. And the thing that you want the most out of your husband, to be a leader, to be strong, if you begin to take that role, you're going to make him weaker. And the thing that you desire will never come about. That's how important and how vital it is for a wife to be a helper. And I'm telling you, there is a noble ambition with that. And I am so thankful that my wife comes along and helps me out. And she, I can tell you, I'm standing here today because my wife has helped me along the way. She has constantly made a weak man stronger. But that's not the case that we see in every single person. It's not the case that we see in every single woman. That's not how we see it in Jezebel's life. In Jezebel's life, she takes a weak man and makes him weaker. And how does that happen? How does a controlling woman really have that happen? The very first thing that we're going to be able to see with Jezebel is this. She belittles her husband with her words. A controlling wife will belittle her husband with her words. We can see 1 Kings 21:7, Jezebel says this. Is this how you act as king over Israel? And so often, a controlling wife is going to be able to use words in a powerful way. And a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the power of our words, didn't we? We talked about that they have the power to be able to give life or to give death. They have the power to build up or they have the power to tear down. And a controlling wife is going to be able to use words that are going to tear her husband down. You're going to make a weak man even weaker. Let me just give you an example of how this plays out in my life. Like I said, my wife, she's amazing. And the words that she says, she builds me up. Not all the time, but most of the time that's the case. And so this is a couple years ago when we were in ministry up in Missouri. You know, we loved the church that we were at. We loved the community that we were living in. And we had a really good life there. But God was really calling us on to something different. We didn't know where that would be. We didn't know what that would look like. We just knew that God was taking us from that place of comfort and really wanted us to go someplace else. And so we were interviewing with a couple of different churches for different pastoral roles. And one of the churches that we were at was up in Kansas City. And we didn't have any family or any friends that lived in Kansas City. We just said, man, this is an amazing church, and we would like to possibly be there. And so we went up for the interview, and I'll never forget what this pastor asked my wife. And he said this, he said, so how do you feel about moving to a city where you don't know anybody? And my wife, she said this, not to me, she said it to the pastor. She said, you know, I'm willing to go anywhere because I believe that God has a special call on my husband's life, and I know anywhere we go is going to be blessed. And I'll tell you how I responded. That's right. I do have a special call. We're going to go do this thing. And I was ready to take over the world at that moment. Because the words that my wife said build me up. She was building me up, and she was being able to say, whatever it is, I'm going to follow you. We're going to go where you take us because I know that you are following God, and I'm going to follow you as you follow God. And that was something that has just stuck with me for years. On the flip side, you know, we've been in ministry for a while and really helped out marriages and done a lot of marital counseling. And one thing that just a couple years ago, I was having some marital counseling with a couple and it just broke my heart because we were talking about this issue of leading, and the wife really was just, she was just so frustrated that her husband didn't lead, and she was talking about how she wished that he would lead in the family more, lead them spiritually and all of these kind of things. And we really talked about discipline. And she said, you know, my husband never disciplines our children, never comes in and corrects our children, and just so frustrated. And so I said, hey, okay, well, then let's talk about that. And we talked about it for a while and then asked the husband, okay, the next time there needs to be correction with your children, are you willing to be the person to step up and do that? And he agreed. He said, yeah, absolutely, I'll do that. And so after a couple of weeks, we got back together again. And I said, so tell me, did you have a time where you needed to correct your children? He said, yeah, absolutely. There was a moment where our daughter was doing something, and so I had to go back and talk to her and correct her. And so I said, well, how did that go then? And he said, well, you know, afterwards, he said, you know, I wasn't sure if I did it right, but you know, I felt okay about it. And then I went and I talked to my wife, and she said this. She was like, you screwed screwed that all up. She's like, you completely did that wrong, and now I have to go back and do it the right way. And I'm going to tell you something. This man was crushed, and I was heartbroken for him, because there is not a chance that that man would ever go back and try to correct his children, would he? Ladies, you might know something. We as men, we're a lot like puppy dogs. We really are. If you say, hey, come here, boy. You know, we're going to come running on. You got me a treat or something? You scratch us behind the ear, you know, and our tail just start wagging. You know, and we're going to be like, yeah. He's like, good boy. And we're like, ah. But if you take that newspaper and you hit us with that newspaper, you say, bad dog. I'm going to tell you something. We're gonna scurry away. We're going to hide in the corner with our tail between our legs. Because here's what I want you to know, ladies. What is rewarded is repeated.
Yeah.
Let me say that again. What is rewarded is repeated. What I wish would have happened in this circumstance, and this is what I told my wife. I was kind of half joking, but the truth is, I said, you know what? Here's the way you should have been able to handle that. You should have come running up to him, and you should have started making out with him for like a half hour. Like he's never been made out with before. And you've been saying, thank you so much. Thank you so much for being able to take the time to invest into our daughter. Because you have a choice, ladies. You have a choice at times. Do you want to be able to see your husband succeed, or do you need to be able to see this little thing be corrected? Because we're not going to get everything right all the time. You're going to have us, you want to ask us to be able to do some small things, like maybe get the kids ready, you know, one day, right? You know, and so the guy goes and helps get the kids ready, and I'm going to tell you something, the clothes are not going to match all the time, are they? It's not going to happen, you know, the hair's going to be messed up. But what's more important? Do you want to be able to just have it right at that moment, or do you want to be able to encourage your husband and build him up? Maybe there's a small miracle of him actually vacuuming in the house, right? Right? And so he actually does. He takes the vacuum out and he vacuums a little bit, but the lines are all messed up. What are you going to be able to do? Are you going to have to go back and tell him, oh, you messed it all up, now I got to do it? He's doing the dishes, and he puts them in the dishwasher. Does it really matter if the cup goes in one place or the other? Do you want to be able to see him do the dishes again? Do you want to build him up and encourage him and say, thank you so much for investing into our family? You have the choice of your words to be able to build up or tear down. You got the choice to be able to say, you know what, I'm going to give life into you. I want to make a weak man stronger. That's how important your role is. This is vital for you, ladies. The second thing that we see Jezebel do is this. She just simply takes over. Too often we just see that in controlling life. They just simply take over. And like I said, I understand the complexities of that. Because there's times when if you don't take over, you might not be able to get done at all. But let's look at it this way. Let's look at it as in the driver's seat. You've got a car and you got two seats in the front, right? And you got one, the responsible seat, and that's the driver's seat. And then you got the other one, the passenger seat. That's the chill out seat, isn't it? You don't have to worry about anything. You're just sitting there relaxing. You get to be able to turn the radio up, you know, and take a little sip of your drink or whatever the case is. That's what you get to be able to do. You get to relax in there. And the person who's sitting in that driver's seat, man, they're responsible for all this stuff going on. And so, ladies, if you want to be able to have your husband be responsible, sometimes you got to let him be in the driver's seat. You can't just take over all the time. Look how Jezebel does that. Jezebel's wife said, is this how you act as king over Israel? Get up and eat. Cheer up. You know what? I'll go and get you the vineyard. I'll go do it. I'll go get you the vineyard because you know what? You can't do it on your own. It's impossible for you to be able to do it. So if we need to get something done, I'm going to be the one that gets something done around here. I know that's really difficult. And I know that for some of you in here, for some of the ladies, it's not that you want to be a controlling wife. You're just driven. You're like one of those type A personalities, right? And you're driven to want to be able to do something. And I appreciate that because my wife is a type A person. She is driven to want to succeed. And I love being around driven women. I love that. But there's also the ability to be able to sit back and be able to say, you know what, I need to let my husband take control in these kind of things. Because you want to be able to make a weak man stronger, right? You want to be able to see him lead. You want to be able to see him become everything that he can be. And you are so vital in that. So ladies, if you're sitting here and you're one of those individuals, this is what I want to be able to encourage you with. The very first thing that I want to be able to encourage you with is that first you need to be able to just love your husband, faults and all. Love your husband with everything that you have. It doesn't matter if it's good or if it's bad, just love him because that's who he is. The second thing that I want to be able to encourage you to do is this. You need to be able to pray. Pray, pray, pray for him, and then stay out of the way. You want your husband to be something, don't you? Each of you has this picture in your mind. Not who the perfect person is, but you see your husband for everything that he can be, right? Do you have the power to make him that? No. You wish you did, don't you? You wish that you had the power to make your husband everything that he can be. You don't have it. But here's the great news. God can. Yeah. Mm-hmm. God can help your husband become everything that he was designed to be. God has the power to be able to do that. He has the power to change us. Nobody else does. He has that power to be able to change us. So this is what I want to encourage you with. Pray for him. Pray for him. And it might be a tough couple of years. You're going to be sitting there on your knees, just sitting there thinking, can you please change already? Can this please happen? But I'm going to tell you, the more that you pray for him, the faster it's going to come, and the more powerful that change is going to be. Pray, pray, pray. Stay out of the way. Let God do his work inside of him. And if there is any ounce of godliness inside of you, you're going to trust God that he's going to come through and not have to worry about controlling that situation. All right, now we need to be able to move on to guys because I don't think any ladies are going to come back next week. All right? I just believe in marriages, and I believe that God has set up a design for us. Guys, it's so important for us to be able to lead. But guys, I'm not going to even tell you how you have to lead because I believe this. I believe that it is God's given responsibility for us to be able to lead. That's your big takeaway for today. Guys, your God-given responsibility is to lead. And it is given to you by God, and so it's put inside of you. I don't have to tell you how to lead. It's just inside of you already. You just need to start doing it. You just need to be able to get up and start leading your family. You don't have to tell a fish how to swim. They just know, right? You don't have to tell an animal how to be able to hunt. They just do it. Guys, it is inside of you to be able to lead. You need to start leading. You need to be able to get up, stop sitting there sulking in bed, get up and start leading. Now, here's what I do want to do. I want to give you three areas that are vital for us to be able to lead. Three areas that are vital for us to be able to lead. And the very first one is this. God has called you to be the provider. God has called you to be the provider for your family. Now, that doesn't mean that you have to make the most money. It doesn't mean that you're the only person making money. What that does mean, though, is that you are the person who is setting the tone financially for your house. You might not even be doing the books, man. If your wife is better than that, man, let her do that, absolutely. But you are setting the tone. You're going to be able to say, we're going to trust God. We're going to follow his principles. As a family, this is where we're going. I'm not so concerned about materialism. I'm not so concerned about going out to eat all the time. We need to be able to trust God, and we need to be able to provide. That is your responsibility. God has given that to you. You need to set the tone for your home financially. The second one is this. You lead as her protector. Now, I'm not talking about, like, if some bad guy comes into your house, you know, and you get all 16 weapons that you've been accumulating at just this moment, like you've been waiting for this time to come. Now, you do that, absolutely, but it's more than just that. You are more than just their physical protector. That you are the protector of your wife's heart. Mm. The most valuable thing that she has, you protect her heart. You make a covenant with her that you will always be faithful to her with your actions. You will always be faithful to her with your mind. You will always be faithful to her with your eyes. and you protect her heart, and you protect her emotions, and you get to be able to treat her as the most valuable being on this entire earth, because God has given you that responsibility and nobody else. You protect her heart. The last one that we need to be able to lead is this. You lead as your family's pastor. Men, you are in this place today. God has given you the responsibility to be your family's pastor. Now, I'm not talking about that you have to be like a theologian and have to go to Bible college and do all that kind of stuff or come up here and be able to preach God's word. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the exact same thing that we said about being a provider. You set the tone spiritually for your home. It's not your wife's responsibility to be able to say, we, as for me and my house, we're going to follow God. Men, that is your responsibility. You can't leave it up to your wife to just say, I'm going to pray with my kids before bed. That is your responsibility to be able to say, I'm going to raise up godly men and women of God. You are your family's pastor. Guys, here's the thing. It's inside of you to lead. It's your God-given responsibility to lead. Just do it. Get up off of the bed. Stop sitting there sulking because you didn't get your way in something. Start leading. Here's what I want you to know is that some of you in here, you might be in a situation where it might not be as drastic as Ahab and Jezebel, but it might be in a situation that's similar. And you're sitting there saying, man, this is going to be a different dynamic for us. How's this going to play out? I'm going to tell you something. This is God's given way for a couple to be able to work. And if you trust Him and you give your life over to Him and your relationship over to Him, it's going to flow naturally. It might be tough. There might be some difficult moments. There might be some hard conversations. Man, you've got to be able to stand up and start leading. And women, you are there to be able to help your husband become a stronger man. This is how God wants us to be able to respond in a relationship. I'm going to ask you to do this. I believe that God is just really working in some people's lives right now, so I just want to be able to ask you to close your eyes. If you're sitting next to your spouse, your partner, I want you to be able to just grab their hand, begin thinking about them, begin praying for them. But I want to ask each of you individually, men, I'm talking to you at this moment. For too long have you been passive in your home? You've been driven in your business, you've been driven in your hobbies, but for too long you've been passive in your home. And you need to be able to make a fresh commitment today to say, you know what? There needs to be some change in me. There needs to be a change in our relationship. And I need to be able to step up and lead. And if that's you today, I want to be able to pray for you. So I just want to be able to ask you to be able to raise your hand. Just a fresh commitment to say, I need to start leading. I see you guys there. Once you put your hand up, you can put it back down. And there's hands all over the place. Absolutely. I need to be able to lead the way God wants me to. I need to become a better provider and set the tone for our family financially. I need to be a better protector and treat my wife as the most valuable thing in this entire earth that God has given me that responsibility. I need to become the pastor of my home. Lead my family. Say, ask for me in my house, we will serve the Lord. Just another moment. If you really need to make a recommitment to lead, you can put it down. I see you there. I see you there, absolutely. Ladies, there's a question for you. You've been in some tough situations. In fact, there's some dynamics that I don't even know what they look like. And maybe you've even felt that you were forced to take control. You didn't necessarily even want it. You desire to be able to follow the biblical example that God has for a relationship, but it just feels like it's forced upon you. But you're saying, you know what? I don't want to help my husband become a weaker man. Today I want to make a commitment that I want to be able to help him become a stronger man. I need to be able to help this weak man become stronger. I need to be able to watch my words and understand that I want to build him up. And even if something falls through the cracks, I need to be able to give him the responsibility to be able to do it. And it might be a tough couple of years. But this morning you want to make a fresh commitment. It says, help me be a godly wife, not a controlling wife. And if that's you today, I want to be able to pray for you. Just go ahead and raise your hand up. But today I want to become a godly wife, not a controlling wife. Would you put your hand up? You can put them down. I see them all over the place. Maybe for somebody in here today, you're not sure how that can look to lead your family towards God, to be a godly woman. Because the reality is you don't have a relationship with Jesus. And you can't say, follow me as I follow Christ, because you don't know him. And for you today, if that's you, that you say, you know, I need to know Jesus. I want to be able to know him and have a personal relationship with him and have him be the Lord and Savior of my life. If that's you today, and you want to be able to say yes to having a relationship with Jesus for maybe the first time, or maybe the first time in a very long time. If that's you today and you want to be able to say yes to Jesus, just go ahead and slip your hand up right now. Yes, I want to have a relationship with Jesus. I'm going to pray for each and every single relationship in here today, each and every single marriage in here today, and help us to become godly leaders, godly women. Let's pray together. God, I just come before you right now, and each and every single household that is represented in this place today. Lord God, I pray that you'll help us to follow your example of a relationship, and as men, for myself, Lord God, I pray that you'll help us to be able to lead. Help me to be able to lead my family in the ways that you have provided for us. God, help me to protect, provide, and pastor my family. Help me to be able to point my family and others towards you, Jesus. Help me to be able to step up and lead. Lord, for all of the ladies in here today, Lord God, I pray that you will strengthen and encourage them in the vital role that they have in this life to be able to make weak men stronger. Help them to be able to follow you with everything that they have, Lord Jesus. Lord God, I give you my heart and my life. Maybe you weren't in here and you didn't raise your hand, but you want to be able to say this prayer, and I want you to be able to, in your heart, be able to say it along with me. Lord Jesus, I give you my life. I give you my heart. I want to desperately have a relationship with you, and help me to follow you. I know that I can't do it on my own. I know that I've messed up too many times, and I need you to be my Lord and Savior. I want to have a relationship with you today, Lord Jesus. Please forgive me of my sin. Lord God, I just thank you so much for the work that you're doing in marriages and relationships through this series and as we continue to go forward. And I pray that you will continue to strengthen every single relationship and every home in this place. We love you. We worship you. In your mighty name. Amen.
Yeah,
amen. Isn't God good, church?
Yeah.
Isn't he good? Anybody mad at me this morning? I don't know, maybe. Oh, I love it. Hey, we just tell it like it is here at our church, man. We believe that the Bible is there for us to be able to follow, and we trust that Amen. The Bible is there because it's God's word, and right. So we just tell it like it is here at our church. But we hope that you had a great time. We hope that you were challenged, you had a lot of fun, and that you feel energized to be able to go have a great Super Bowl party or whatever it is that you're going today, and anyway, all that kind of stuff. Man, we're going to be transitioning right now. I'm going to be heading out outside and just around the lobby. And if you are newer to the church, I would love a chance to be able to meet you, to say thank you so much for being here and welcome you. And or if God really did something in your life through this message that he challenged you with something and you just want to be able to share that, I would love to be able to hear your story, pray with you about something. And so if that's you as well, then go ahead and just meet me right outside. There's a cool little tent that says Guest Central on it. I'm going to be hanging out right over there. But as I'm transitioning out, we've got Pastor Jonathan coming up here. He's got some announcements for some cool things